Hello and welcome to the Gaffer Tapes Comedy Fantasy Football Podcast with Craig, Tom,
ahoy,
and Ash.
Hello.
Game week 31 could be the longest game week in history because it's still going on now as we're recording the podcast for after game week 31. The last game back to kick off, obviously QPR Villa in your double game week, which is going to be pretty central to the talking points before Tom starts gloating. We'll come on to it later.
I'm waiting. Coiled spring.
I'm going to make you wait till part three. And then I'm going to make sure Ash wins the game.
Nice.
We should do a quick disclaimer for last week, really, for those of you listening to the Missing Scrolls podcast. Mm.
Is it because I smashed Tom yet again in the quiz and then mysteriously the recording fucks up?
Where's the proof?
Where's the proof? That's what I'm saying.
Actually, that part of the recording's still there. So I could put that in a court of law. That's good, actually. Yeah. I'll attach that as an outtake at the end of this so everyone can hear me winning it. Nicely reminded.
Still 8-4.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's still 8-4. We'll come on to that later, definitely. Game week 31, though. First things first, have a quick go over some of the results. Some big scores, lots of goals. You know, if you had a BTTS coupon, it looked pretty good. We'll start off, we may as well. Arsenal hammering Liverpool 4-1 as Tom was in his caravan on holiday. No doubt, extremely happy. Everton got a 1-0 win over Southampton. Leicester beat West Ham to give their very, very slim chances of survival. So not a great week for Ash. Man United beat Villa 3-1 at home. Swansea carried on their form with a 3-1 win over Hull. And QPR got their second away win of the season, beating West Brom 4-1, which really was the game that was the make or break for a lot of people's teams. We'll come on to in a second. First things first, so we'll get it out of the way before we talk about the interesting relegation battle. Arsenal, Tom, 4-1. Great
result. I was making that static caravan rock like you wouldn't believe. watching those scores come in. Yeah, very nice. It was a game that I thought, you know, I was saying, I'd take a draw here because it's one of the slightly harder games as an Arsenal fan that we have. But no, 4-1, absolutely smashed them. That was lovely.
Yeah, did you have any Arsenal players in your dream team and your fancy football team for this?
Just Sanchez.
Toyed with putting
Giroud in, but because of the double game week, went with a couple of other players. But yeah, went for Sanchez, 13 points. Very nice. First time he scored big for a while, actually.
It is. He's been off. You know, Giroud's been the man of the moment, really, for points for Arsenal, getting his Player of the Month award. Liverpool, the wheels have really come off. Ash, we were talking the other week that when Tom put Mignolet in and I put Ospina in the same week, we both said they were great goalkeeping picks. Liverpool's defence was shored up. They didn't concede in like 8 away games. The wheels are off. Is it time to cash out again with Liverpool now?
Depends what players you got. I think, well, Skrtel being, I think a lot of people had him. He's normally quite good, but now he's suspended for a couple of games. And they've had a few players get red cards recently, haven't they? Which just seems to have like, had a bit of a meltdown. Gerrard did. Chan, Skrtel, I think maybe. Plus they, it's really noticeable earlier in the season and last season, they dive a lot. I wonder if it's a sort of similar thing where the, I don't know, just sort of a bit of a, not like a horrible team, but if they've got it in them, you know, they're quite gamey.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I wonder if that's
one of the
things.
I don't know who's scoring points for them because, you know, last season, at the beginning of this season, Sterling was battering points. Coutinho had a mini spell, but there's no strikers scoring goals.
Yeah.
The clean sheets look like they dried up, which is where all the points were. Henderson's spell's over, so who, if you want who's scoring the goals?
Well, still, Henderson's still a good buy. He's cheap. Plus, he's taking their penalties whilst Gerrard's away, isn't he? Since he scored their goal, didn't he?
Yeah,
every week I think about buying him, but he's so sort of boring. You think, oh no, he's not going to get the points. But he scored, you know, he's got points in every week.
You don't kick players on account of them being boring.
Well, you know, if it's like a holding midfielder, it's the same thing with Ki-Sung Young.
Oh, not his personal life.
Yeah, no, I wasn't like, I went around his house and was like, this guy's fucking dull. Yeah. I'm not picking
this
him again.
This is a cold place.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck off.
James Milner would be picked by no one.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Boring James Milner.
Yeah.
And then obviously other games from the weekend, the big talk on, I guess, is the relegation battle is huge, not only for fantasy football, but in the real world that exists outside of fantasy football. QPR gave West Brom an absolute doing, ruined a load of coupons. Charlie Austin scoring goals again. With relegation teams, it always gets that time of season that all the cliches got trotted out, don't they? They're kind of like, oh, they always pluck results out of nowhere, blah, blah, blah. They're still shit teams, but is it worth having a couple in, like in your lineup?
Oh, definitely. Well, because some of the players are still cheap. And then when you look at the head-to-heads, I think if you've got, well, like West Brom and Newcastle and all these mid-table, well, West Ham, unfortunately, all these real mid-table teams that haven't got a chance of getting relegated, like realistically, are just going to get a shoo-in by the bottom teams now. Yeah. for the rest, next 8 weeks, aren't they?
And who, if you were to sort of place money now, I know you don't really do that, either of you, who would you say is going down? We kind of agree that Leicester are gone, even though that win, I think.
Back on the gambling. Mm. I suppose really the question is who's going to get, I mean, it's not the question you asked, but who's going to get sucked in? Who could, because I think Villa personally are safe now. They could actually drop into the bottom.
Villa is one of my teams that I think might go.
Really? I think
if you can't get a result tonight as we do this podcast, then Villa are serious trouble.
I think they could get sucked back in, can't they? Can't QPR jump ahead of them? But
yeah, exactly. There's only 3 points in it.
Yeah, I don't...
It's like the world's worst job interview candidate, where you get asked a question and you just turn it around and just do whatever you want.
Exactly.
Well, if you're asking me what my strengths are, I wasn't.
Plus, it's even better as well, because by the time the podcast comes out, the game will have already been played.
Yeah.
So you've asked me a question, and what I've done is said, well, actually, I think you'll find Villa aren't going to go down, who will have lost 5-0 by this time and already be relegated.
Yeah.
Well, I fancy QPR for a result against Villa, actually.
I do. I think Austin's on fire. It's going to get me some more points. I'm happy with that.
Well, this is it. Well, let's. Do you know what? Let's. Before we go, let's fucking talk about it.
Okay? I didn't mean to bring it up. Craig.
We talked last week about it's a double game week. Stimmers sent us a tweet and said, double game week, QPR and Villa. They're both shit. Is it worth putting them in? You and I, Bo, we all said definitely. Always have to consider, no matter how bad the team, getting those points. Benteke goes and gets a goal. Like we said, anything more than 2 points is a bonus. He gets a goal against United and has his, you know, easier, inverted commas, game tonight. I put Benteke in. Tom put Benteke in. And not only that, you put Austin in as well.
I had two free transfers. I put in Austin and Benteke.
And made Austin captain.
Austin captain.
Boom.
You know, I'm still reaping the rewards as we speak. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
The only thing that can sort of reverse my fortunes, obviously, is if Benteke goes ahead and scores a hat-trick tonight. But obviously, a lot of people have him. But you went for both of them. That's bold. I like that, Tom.
I like it. Yeah, well, I had Aguero, who hadn't done anything for such a long time. Yeah. And I thought, you know what? Get rid of him. Not interested. You know, you've had your chance, Sonny. I'm going to stick in the other two, the underdogs, and watch them perform, and they bloody did. So, yeah.
Benteke, goals.
Thanks very much. But yeah, rocketing up the league.
Well, I mean, we'll get to that in a sec. But yeah. there's definite case for double game weeks. We were right. For once this season,
Definitely worth it.
Let's celebrate.
Huh?
I said, let's celebrate. We were right for once. That if
some of us were more right than others as well, which is nice.
Yeah, I mean,
well,
that's
Craig,
not the point. So we were all collectively right.
Well, you know.
If it's a double game week, no matter the teams, then you've got to consider putting them in. And one quick thing before you have a quick look at the league and where we are in the league and, of course, where you all are in the league. It's one for Ash, I guess, more than anyone, being our resident expert, who's slowly losing that
Respert.
Our Rexpert.
Sounds better, yeah.
I like the way you threw in that I was slowly losing it here. Whilst you guys are battling it out, tooth and nail for second place.
For now?
Yeah, for now. Yeah. You guys fight it out to see who can be the best of the losers and then take pot shots at me.
The best of
Tom's
the losers.
Tom's an Arsenal fan. That's what he does instinctively.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, so talking about the relegation battle, I've been watching quite a lot of the Championship football this year, and it has to be said, I don't know how many listeners we have from the Championship who just play FPL. It's an unbelievable league in terms of promotion, the most exciting in Europe without doubt. Do you look at who's performing there for who comes up? For instance, Watford. If Watford win the league, Troy Deeney has scored, not only has he got a phenomenal name, but Troy Deeney scored 20 goals for, I think, 3 seasons in a row down there. Will be cheap because he's in a lower side. Do you keep an eye out for those kind of players?
It's interesting. Not really, because when they come up, the teams change so much. Like QPR, you know, like I saw them play a couple of times towards the end of last season. And you think, oh yeah, they've got some good players, but they just sell everybody by the time they come up. Like, same with Leicester. You never know who they're going to get, because they only brought Ajoa when they got promoted, didn't they?
You get promoted and they get Ajoa and Esteban Cambiasso, which is
really cool.
Did they have Wallace? Did they have Wallace before?
Wallace was there.
Is he an addition? Can I say that I've done that before? I've watched some Championship games, and I know it was...
You don't seem convinced that you even know what it is.
I was trying to think what it's called, not Match of the Day, the other one. The Football League Show, isn't it?
Yeah, Football League Show, Manesh.
That's it. Snodgrass, one for me that I watched him come up. I think he was smashing in goals. And I was saying about him being, you know, top goal scorer in the Championship a couple of seasons ago. He was someone that I made a note on my desk about Snodgrass. And I think Charlie Adam as well
Well, Charlie Adam years ago for Blackpool.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Yeah, Charlie Adam as well. Made a little note, thought when he comes up, he'll be cheap. He can score goals.
Yeah.
I don't think either of them paid off in the end, to be honest. But
Charlie Adam for Robert Snodgrass on your desk.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got that. Got that written down.
Worked out their percentage. We'll have a quick look. I'll give you a quick rundown of the top five in the Gaffer Tapes League. Very competitive league. And then Tom's going to tell us where we are because he's getting excited. Mm-hmm. Top of the, we'll go backwards. In fifth, Tony Soprano, managed by Imran Salim on 1,754 points. Then we've got Phil Taylor, still there, dropping down the league though.
Isn't he?
Stuck in Copacabana, Adam Race. He's there in third, only 3 points behind second. Sassanax by Alistair McKay, he's in second place. And obviously, not a great week, 49 points, but obviously Brian Coates is still at number one.
It wasn't a great week for Coatesy, and I did a little bit of research into Coatesy.
Right.
Slash stalking.
Yeah. Slash a little bit of stalking. I looked at all the other leagues that he's in, and he's top of every single league that he's in, apart from one.
Wow.
So I clicked on that, and I saw the person who is ahead of him in one of his leagues. And the guy has a scarily familiar similar team to Coatesy. So they've both got rather niche players. So I don't know if Coatesy maybe has another...
Are you suggesting a Kaiser Soze type thing, that he is the other guy?
I think so. I think...
Oh, maybe Coatesy's copying this other guy.
Or maybe Coatesy's copying called Mourinho. Yeah. Oh, no, his team's Mourinho, and he's called Mr. Mourinho. So...
I was hoping his name was like an anagram of Brian Coates.
Yeah. Imagine that, I am Brian Coates. A bit like some kind of Voldemort situation. But they both have My Hill in goal.
Yeah.
They both have, funnily enough, Hutton for Villa at the back.
Yeah.
And then they do have your staples of Terry, Silva, Hazard, Aguero, Kane. But I just thought it was weird that they had, yes, and they've got a very similar bench. They've got both got Boyd on the bench, both Klein on the bench. Yeah. Very, and I think especially with My Hill, as the words were coming out of my mouth, I realised it wasn't quite as exciting as I found it exciting. It was so exciting, I wrote a note about it and put it on my desk. Both to have My Hill in goal and Hutton at the back.
No matter how many times you say it, it doesn't sound like a conspiracy.
No.
Basically, you haven't found Brian Coates yet.
I haven't found Brian Coates, that's the closest I've got. That's the Brian Coates update.
But you did manage to find somebody else in the league who had players.
Yes.
So
other people have players as well, yeah. Guys.
Tom, that's the top of the league. Neither of the three of us are in that top five.
No.
So where are we and can we get there?
Ash has moved up. Ash is now in 46th.
Okay.
56 points. Obviously, we do still have one game to play tonight. I don't know if Ash has got any QPR or Villa players.
Only Benteke.
Just Benteke. Ash, 56 points. He's up at 46. Then we have the interesting situation of Big T-Bone, a.k.a. Tom Holmes. 63rd. Now, usually I'd read out Craig's name before me, but I won't be reading out Craig's name because Craig is 68th, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Tom has taken over Craig. Overtaken Craig. I haven't taken him over.
He's taken control of me.
Control of him. I'm currently sitting on a 77-point game week and Craig 53 points.
In fairness to Craig, he is the current Gaffer Tapes reigning champion, so don't be quick to write him off. He did win the World Cup special.
He did win the World Cup special, that's true.
I genuinely had no idea what you were talking about.
World Cup special.
Yeah, so champion.
If you don't realise, go back and listen to the World Cup episode on the Gaffer Tapes.
I wouldn't count him out just yet.
I have Benteke as captain tonight, so if Charlie Austin does nothing...
Scores 26 points.
I think if Benteke scores 26 points... Oh, no, sorry, 13 points, you'll get doubled to 26, and I'll only get 13.
That's what you worked out.
And then Austin gets none. But anyway, it doesn't matter. There's 12 points between me and Craig, and there's 55 points between me and Ash. So Ash is still breaking away. He's still on that first page, and me and Craig are battling it out.
There's a few weeks left, so don't worry about it.
But, you know, it just, when I saw that I had overtaken you, it made me very happy. And it made me think of, there was a time on one of the earlier podcasts where you were saying, hey guys, join the league. And even if you join now, you might not get very many points, but you'll still beat Tom. Well, look at them bloody apples now, sir.
Was that me or was that Alan Partridge?
That was you.
I've actually been a staunch supporter of yours and said that I thought you'd finish on the first page, but, you know.
Well, yeah. To my face, but behind my back.
Forget about it.
Yeah.
But anyway, Tom scored 77 points on this week, which is pretty good. Which brings us on to what is a good week. That's a lot more than Brian Coates got. So, you know, he only got 49 so far. Last week, we introduced the manager of the month, basically because we were told to by one of our regular listeners, Stimmers.
Yeah.
And Ash, have we got stats for who's currently leading this game week, game week 31?
Yeah, well, the early... So we've got a manager of the week award, but obviously it could change, but he's still got the award.
Let's give it to him anyway.
We're going to give it to... Well, we're going to have to. He's currently actually in about 115th place in our league. He's 119th, right? But he got 94 points this week.
Wow.
Dream the impossible.
Jesus
dream.
Christ. Yeah, and he's still got a couple of players. He's still got Austin left to go.
Wow.
His team's name's Nightmare, and the player name is...
Said Odd.
I don't know whether it's his actual name.
C-E-D space O-D.
Yeah. Anyway, he's got a not bad team. It's like, he's only made something like 8 changes all season, but he's done a double swap this week. I'm not sure who.
He's actually been active this week.
Yeah, he's made a double change, and then he's... I can't see his team from last week, so I'm not sure who he changed, but he's got Giroud captain, Austin, Hazard 13, Henderson, Sanchez, Ramsey got 9, Jagielka got 15. Yeah, incredible.
Wow, Jagielka.
Yeah, yeah.
He could break a ton if Austin puts in a goal or an assist tonight.
Easy. Yeah, he will, yeah, yeah.
Wowzers.
That's nice. I'd like to see how far he went up. So, do you know what I mean? If he's 190th now, he's probably gone up right from the very bottom, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
200 of, maybe.
Yeah.
At least you're not putting Ash on the spot and trying to get him to find out something that he...
That's fine, you don't
that's
have
good,
to.
That's good, though.
I can't possibly find out.
Mr. Rod, congratulations. He only 2 more of them for a Toblerone. The rules that we put in place. Before we go, we will, for the first part, we will tell you the other results, obviously. Villa QPR playing tonight, but the other Premiership results in game week 31, we had Chelsea beat Stoke 2-1 with that Stoke Charlie Adam. Did you all see the Charlie Adam goal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was weird. Am I the only one that thought it was weird that everybody was sort of saying how good it wasn't? And Match of the Day and everything. They all kept talking about how, oh, yeah, well, that was okay. But they were sort of bigging up all the other goals, like the Rooney goal, to sort of make it sound like Charlie Adams wasn't that great.
Well, it just so happened it was a week with unbelievable... Bobby Zamora's goal was unreal.
Yeah.
Sanchez scored a good goal. Adams' goal was obviously incredible.
But isn't... But when, say, like, when
Adams
I went to work today...
Adams scored from inside his own half.
when I went to work today, people were all coming up to me saying, oh, did you see Adams' goal? No one was saying... But Zamora's goal was amazing. Yeah. But no
Is
one
that
was
what
like,
happens when you get into work?
Basically.
You open the doors and just people come to you like
swarm
oh
towards
God,
you with like notepads going, what do you think of the what do you think of the Adam goal? Yes, what do you think?
Tom just goes into work and they go, Tom, we found some more etchings on your desk.
Yeah.
You
yeah. Yeah. It's a cryptic etching of a man known as Brian Coates.
I imagine it's like Fight Club where someone's like, I found this on the photocopier.
Yeah.
It's just like scrawled crazy notes about Brian Coates.
Yeah, either that or I just etch him into my skin.
Yeah.
Other scores, sorry. Burnley played Spurs in the most boring game probably of the season.
Yeah.
0-0. Sunderland got a 1-0 win over Newcastle. Jermaine Defoe scored
another great goal.
Volley. And Crystal Palace very deservedly beat Manchester City 2-1.
Fantastic.
Before we go to point two, actually, just a little bit. Am I the only one who finds it weird that Tottenham actually made Harry Kane their captain?
Yeah. I found that really weird.
He's all they got, isn't he?
I know. I think Pochettino thought he was playing fantasy football. And
yeah. Thought if he scores, I'm going to shoot up to fifth in the league.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's almost as if he thought, I'll make Kane captain this week. And Harry passed the office and heard him and gone, what? And he's gone, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're captain this week, mate.
Yeah.
Why on earth would you make your 21-year-old striker captain?
It's because the rest of the squad are shit.
Yeah.
It makes no... That's literally the most objective opinion we're getting from you.
That's it. I'll say it again if you want.
Yeah, and also Crystal Palace. We said last week, we should congratulate ourselves again, really. We said that the Palace front three, really looking good. Palace on great form. Even though they've got nothing to play for, they're playing with a lot of confidence. And again, Glenn Murray scores, Jason Puncheon scores, Bolasie looked good. So they do seem like really good value, Palace. It's the kind of exception to the rule. But we will talk about all this a bit more because we've had quite a few tweets on the matter. We'll talk about that in part two. We're also going to talk a bit about the Gaffer Gambler and I have to issue an apology. And in part three, obviously, we're going to have Tom versus Ash after the last one seemed to go missing. Ash claims he won. There's no evidence of this.
No evidence of that. I don't believe it.
And we'll preview game week 32. For the time being, that's the end of part one and we'll see you for part two in just a second. Hello and welcome back to the Gaffer Takes Fantasy Football Podcast with Craig, Tom and Ash. We've just been through all the game week 31 scores, and obviously there is one game going on as we're recording it, which you already know the result of, but we don't, which is like some weird time machine thing.
It's a little bit like Back to the Future in a way, isn't it?
A little bit.
It's sort of more like just actual time.
Actual.
I mean, let's not go into it.
Actual Back to the Future. Actual future.
The present.
Just the normal present. Future.
Now in the present. But yeah, so it's 1-0 QPR. You already know that. And in fact, you all know the final score and we don't. It's
weird, like you've got isn't some... it? I find that bizarre.
Can't get my head around it. Tom's mind's absolutely blown. He started scribbling this down.
Are we in the future now? Or?
Yes, yes, we are. Not when you said it, but now, yes. But yeah, so part two, as always, we'll go and tell you about our anytime pattern bet we're going to do in the Gaffer Gambler. But for now, we're going to have a quick read through some of your tweets in Tweets for My Tweet.
Tweets for my tweet. No, not me.
That went a bit Greaves as well, a little bit.
It did, didn't it?
But yes, we've had lots of tweets in you for this week, which is good. Jack Saunders of the Saundi tweeted during the Arsenal game, when you put Bella in as your third substitute 1 minute before the deadline.
Oh, nice.
Bad choices. I think a few people have him in their squad but decided not to put him in, which must be pretty gutting. Ed Hartland tweeted us saying, taking out Kane for Benteke, have to use the double game weeks well. Hashtag to Villa Mockingbird. Great name.
That's start. Great.
Secondly, he's right. You do have to, yeah. As Tom well knows. We had a tweet from Ian Parks replying to us where we tweeted saying about Charlie Adams' goal. We tweeted, Charlie Adam, teaching kids, if you learn how to strike a ball, you can neglect your health, fitness, work ethic and attitude and still succeed, which is kind of true. And Ian Parks, who I presume is a Stoke fan, tweeted back, yeah, like Alan Hudson, Rodney Marsh, George Best and every other player in the 70s. I don't know if that was like a comeback because it's not the 70s. So I don't.
Hang on, it's not. Are you saying it's not the 70s? Because where me and Ash are at the moment, it is the 70s. Something's happened, Craig.
This is like the worst episode of Life on Mars existed.
Do a podcast from the 70s.
Yeah, and I don't think I've ever seen Rodney Marsh and George Best in the same sentence ever, so that was quite good. Martin Hordern, who's obviously a Stoke fan, tweeted us saying, he always looks half a stone overweight, but he doesn't know half how to hit a ball. So even Stoke fans know that Charlie Adam is a bit of a fat waste of space, but I think they like him anyway, regardless. Yeah. And then we had a good tweet from Susie Wallace. I think it's the first time Susie's tweeted us. So hi, Susie.
Hi, Susie. Hi.
Because we don't act like it is the 70s, and we welcome tweets from a woman, Susie. So there you go. She tweeted, would love to hear a Sterling debate. Raheem, obviously.
Also, I thought she just meant just a Sterling debate about something. Oh, potato waffles.
Or like a UKIP referendum.
Oh, right, yeah. Well, I went for potato waffles, but... Yeah. You can cook them in the toaster. You can cook them from frozen in the toaster. That is absolutely true with potato waffles.
You can what?
You can cook frozen, but you know potato waffles come out like in a freezer, like, yeah? You can cook them from frozen in a toaster.
Kids, this is the kind of thing you learn if you grow up to live in a caravan.
That's right, yeah. Spend your time in a caravan in Clacton-on-Sea. And I genuinely did cook potato waffles out of a in a toaster while I was in a static caravan in Clacton.
I know you did, son. So. I know.
That'll be the last thing. This conversation will be the last thing someone heard before their house burnt down.
It's true. It's absolutely true. It does work. It does
you
work.
Know, I used to make, when I was like a teenager, like rebelling, I don't need to use the grill. I used to make cheese on toast by turning the toaster on its side and just putting the cheese on the bread and sliding it in.
What?
Well, that is dangerous. Don't do that. Hell. Because that will catch fire.
Mental.
And then I just used to like stick a fork in to get it out again.
That's dangerous. Cheese isn't a conductor.
Isn't it? We're having the Sterling debate about toasters now. Isn't it a conductor? Because I think it is, boy.
It is a Sterling debate. Tell me why it's dangerous.
I definitely did not see the conversation going this way.
Have you ever boiled pasta in the kettle?
I do know someone who has, yeah. He's no longer with us anymore.
I haven't, but I know someone who has.
I've got loads of mates who boil pasta in kettles.
Yeah, he writes poetry as well. But anyway, Susie Wallace will never tweet us.
No.
Well, no, because her house will have burnt down in a toaster fire.
Yeah.
She wants to hear a Sterling.
Terribly burnt hands. She can't tweet anymore.
Yeah.
Susie, before you call the fire brigade, we will get onto it. Sterling debate, Arsenal, Madrid, Raheem Sterling, the BBC interview, the Rodgers statement, money grabbing or realistic. It's a really powerful tweet. She's gone to town.
Yeah.
Where do you stand on Raheem Sterling saying he's turned down 100 grand because he wants more, etc., etc. Wanker or just ambitious?
Are you asking me? I don't know. Ambitious, probably.
I think, right.
He's not as good as he makes out. But then how many players, you know, have there been like that over time, you know, that want more money, want more than they can get, and they...
I think you should go for it. I mean, it worked out really well for Wright Phillips, didn't it?
There we go. That dream move. So Wright Phillips is a great example.
It's a bit different, though. Like, Sterling undoubtedly talents. Wright Phillips never carried England.
No. Well, but I mean, he probably would have if you put him in the England squad now.
Yeah, well, no. Right, Raheem Sterling and Wright Phillips are very unfair comparison. He's a much better player.
Well, yeah, but he's not, like... I saw Zidane, allegedly today, admitted that Real Madrid were after him. But I tweeted earlier...
Sterling,
like,
we should say here. They're after Raheem Sterling.
Yeah. But I don't see it. I can't see how he fits into the Real Madrid system. Although, unless they're getting rid of Ancelotti and they're going to try something new. But he's not...
I'm making the manager. That's bold.
Yeah, well, as Real Madrid, it wouldn't even really surprise you, would it? But, I mean, he's good. So I don't want to sound down on Sterling, because he's really good. He's probably England's best player. So, like, I'm not anti him. I think he's really good. But he's not on the level... Do you think he would get into that Real Madrid team?
No, he wouldn't get into the team, which is what people like Carragher's argument is, in that he should stay at Liverpool.
Yeah.
But he's definitely... He will outgrow Liverpool if he carries on at this rate.
I think anyone would outgrow Liverpool at this pace, wouldn't they?
Yeah. For instance, he's getting criticism because of the money, blah blah. He is turning down 100 grand a week at Liverpool, but he's not turning down the money for me. He's turning down Liverpool.
But that's sort of even worse, isn't it?
I don't think so. He wants to win medals.
Yeah, but he's part of the... Well, first of all, he's only 21, and secondly, he's part of the team. It's not like the teams. It's not like something that is not in his control. Like if you put Bale in their squad, he would have scored more goals. He's not up to that standard. It's like he's sort of saying, oh, it's everyone else's fault that we're not there.
It's not his fault that clubs that are more likely to win trophies are showing an interest in him.
Yeah, but it's his fault that Liverpool aren't winning the league, isn't it?
It's 1/11th his fault, certainly. It is. But I would argue he's doing more than 1/11th's work in that side.
Yeah,
that's true. I don't know. I just think Bale's not a bad example. For instance, Bale obviously did it a lot more at Tottenham. He had more, you know, two or three good seasons at the very, very top. But he was never going to win trophies at Tottenham. So if Tottenham had offered him the same amount of money or less money, if Tottenham had offered him slightly more money than Real Madrid, would he have gone to Real Madrid? Of course he would have. He wanted to win medals and he won the Champions League. So I think Sterling's turning down Liverpool, not the money necessarily. He wants to go. Even it's depressing for Liverpool that Arsenal are more likely, you know, destination of medals because they haven't won fucking anything apart from one trophy in the last so many years. But
I think it's the same as... It happens a lot with West Ham, where someone like Nigel Riakoka...
Absolutely not.
No, I'm not I'm not comparing the two, right? But it's a similar situation.
He was too big for West Ham? Yeah.
But it's a similar situation where we have players... It happens all the time. It happens to Upson as well, where they start doing well, they get picked up by the media, and then other clubs sort of flirt interest with them, and then the newspapers bring up, Riakoka, he's going to Arsenal, he's going to go. Then it gets in their mind. They start thinking, yeah, I'm too big for this club. Like, oh, yeah, I'm doing all the work. They demand a move away or don't sign a new contract. And then a year later, they're playing left back for Villa. Yeah. So it's going to happen. If Sterling goes, he's not going to go to Real Madrid. He'll be like, he'll either sign a massive new contract or he'll end up at Arsenal. What's the point? He's not going to get in their team, is he? He's going to go to unplay Sanchez.
Well, to be fair, yes. If there's a position we don't need, it's... I mean, Sterling's a fantastic player, but we don't need him at Arsenal.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I don't know what...
I'd have him, but we don't need him.
Yeah.
And if there's one thing you don't do, it's demand wages from Sir Arsene Wenger. And I'll tell you that for nothing.
But so who... Also, the other thing is, if he was going to go to Real Madrid, why would they not buy Hazard? Apart from the fact Chelsea wouldn't sell him necessarily. Yeah,
that's
quite
a big one.
That, like, he's much better, isn't he?
Yeah.
Than Sterling.
Yeah, he's certainly more developed than Sterling, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know. I'm saying that by the time the podcast comes out, he'll have signed for Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Well, so, or he'll sign a lengthy contract. Fans, it never fails to amaze me when Sterling, for instance, say next week he signs a 5-year deal on a huge wage, all of the Liverpool fans will suddenly come out and go, ha, I told you he was staying. That doesn't mean he's staying. That just increased his value for how you sell him. Suarez signed contracts to get sold.
I see it panning out that he'll sign a new contract, and then like 2-3 seasons will go. I suppose the only thing is, I've heard a lot of people say he shouldn't be on more than 100,000 because he's so young. But it's the same as anything. I've heard people say it about like their day-to-day just normal jobs. Oh, like someone's come to work here and they're doing the same job, but he's younger than me. Well, I thought, well, you're doing the same fucking job, so...
He'll probably, to be honest, his value will plummet when he gets injured in some bizarre waffle fire.
Yeah.
That's probably how it will turn out. But there is something about, just the last point on it, there is something about Sterling that, for instance, Harry Kane, you couldn't see, if Harry Kane progresses and has another great season, you couldn't see him signing for Man City to sit on the bench or be in a squad for silly money, whereas you really could see Sterling do that for some reason. There's just, you could imagine him at Man City just picking up wages, and maybe that's really bad to presume that, but it's gone, you kind of feel like
he's gone full circle. He's now back in the Wright Phillips role.
Yeah. Well, he really is now just the Wright Phillips thing. But yeah. But no, seriously, stay away from toasters with waffles and cheese, Coach.
Please do. Waffles and cheese in a toaster. Now, that is dangerous.
I've never had cheese on waffles, I don't think.
No. No, my girlfriend's dad has butter on potato waffles.
That's weird.
That is weird, isn't it?
And your girlfriend's dad, what does your wife think about this?
Oh, shit, did I say fuck me, I've got to stop doing that.
Either you've admitted to an affair or you've just forgotten you had a wife. Neither of them are good.
I'd rather admit to the affair, I think.
She doesn't listen.
Can't say that. No, she doesn't. You could literally say anything.
We won't, but you can.
We won't. We won't. Yeah.
But if you do have any tweets, that was a really good tweet by Susie Wallace. So
that was great, yeah.
Off a bit of tangent. But do tweet us at the Gaffer Tapes with your teams or reactions to our tweets or any betting slips or any questions. It was really good tweets this week. It was hard to pick out a few. There were lots of them. But yeah, so do tweet us and follow us at the Gaffer Tapes, and we will try to get back to you or talk about it on the pod. So Gaffer Gambler is that point now. Last week, we brought back an old favourite with the Gaffer Gambler, where we did the anytime scorer pattern. We each picked a player. If they scored over the weekend, we put a bet on. The pattern covered all three of them scoring and all seven possibilities. Tom picked Charlie Austin.
Last week, yeah, Austin to score.
In the game against West Brom. Mm-hmm. I picked Bubba Gomez in the Swansea game. And Ash picked Pella, because he's loyal like that. And two of them came in, which is great news. We'd have easily got our money back plus more. And I forgot to put the bet on.
So in a way, it's good that Ash did pick the, you know.
Well, I think if anybody out of this, I came a lot closer to getting this right than Craig did. Because I picked...
What?
Well, because he very nearly scored, right?
Okay.
He hit the crossbar twice and the keeper made a mega save. Whereas Craig was supposed to put the bet on and failed at that.
Yeah, but
so
I've
come a lot closer.
But he did get his... fucking scored.
I agree. Well, it's better that we didn't get it right and Craig didn't put the bet on. That's better.
Better.
Although it's only Craig that profits from it anyway, so...
I would have ticked the box for nearly scoring if it wasn't for a mega save, but firstly, it doesn't exist, and secondly, the word mega save doesn't exist.
Neither does the bet, because he didn't put it on, so thus I win.
I would have won a little bit of money. Anyway...
It's like my dad always says, a miss is as good as a mile. No, it's not that. It's enough is as good as a feast.
Which doesn't make sense. I literally don't know what that one is. But this week, we're going to do it, and we're going to actually put the bet on, because we've already put the bet on.
Yeah, we had to outsource the betting part of it to somebody
who's a competent... Yeah.
Although, in fairness to Craig, it did take me about 45 minutes to do it.
A long time. While Craig's going, do you want me to just put it on? Shall I just put it on? Or I'll probably just put it on then.
But we did it.
I was like an impatient dad watching the kid try and put up a tent. I'll just do it. But we've gone for game week 32 fixtures. On a side note, Tom and I once did put up a tent. It took us ages.
I was just going to say that. I thought it was going off on too much of a tangent. But yeah, me and Craig did put up a tent once, didn't we?
We won't do it.
In Suffolk,
the game week 32 fixtures, we've had to pick an anytime pattern for who's going to score anytime. We've actually put it on. Tom, who have you chosen?
I chose Olivier Giroud to score against Burnley this weekend. It's not a massively out there shout, but we're away, you know.
Time, exactly. I've gone to carry on the Palace front three scoring goals and gone for Jason Puncheon to score, and that's also away from home at Sunderland. And Ash?
I've gone Hazard away at QPR. Again, not very adventurous, but
a midfielder and away from home. So the pattern is seven different bets covering three singles, three doubles, and a treble. Ash really wanted to round it up to £10. He's had to put like a decimal of like £1.43.
Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't you bet a £1.43 pattern?
And what are the returns on that?
So if you bet £1.43, it totals it to £10 and a penny. And then if they all score, it returns £53.
If they all score, we'll let you. We don't know what the other possibilities are. Hopefully they all score, but we'll tweet that.
Yeah.
And you can get on that. Don't have to do it for £1.43 at all.
If you're some sort of nutcase.
But you can if you want. Or maybe do it for 14.3 pence and round it up to £1. You can't, but you know, it's seven different bets. You choose. And one last thing before we go for part three, actually. The sack race. Oh. I haven't got odds specifically, but I wanted to put a question to you. When the last sack race was, when someone actually went, Sherwood got the Villa job, and we kind of talked about how he was out like 33-1 on his first day of the job to get the sack. Now, Villa, are they still losing? I don't know. We'll check. If Villa lose tonight and they get into a relegation race, if Villa go down, is there a chance Sherwood won't be there next year?
There's a chance.
Are they going to keep the manager that got them relegated
exactly
to try and get them back up again? Yeah. Probably not.
I think they will keep
them. But then I do think Sherwood still does have that sort of... He's quite a big-name manager for the championship,
Why is he a big name?
I don't know. Probably because he was at Spurs for a bit.
And that Gillet deal he got.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, no, I'm saying he shouldn't be. But I think he is quite a big-name manager for the championship. And, you know, and they might think, oh, you know, he didn't have a lot of time and he was taking a club that were down there already. And
I have this feeling he's going to be one of those managers that gets through his career with mainly excuses like, yeah, but. And, you know, he'll end up being Neil Warnock in like 30 years or something. Mm. I don't know. That's a prediction.
Tim
Sherwood is...
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll just jump forward to the future and tell you if that is the case, if he's turned into Neil Warnock.
Who do you think is going to get sacked then? Who do you think is going to be the next person?
Possibly Pellegrini.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
This week last year that Moyes was relieved, I think.
I don't think they'll fire him before the end of the season.
I like used relieved as well.
Yeah, relieved of his duties. But... you wouldn't have thought they'd fire him before the end of the season, but if it's that a horrible cliche if he's lost the dressing room, but they talk about it in The Secret Football all the time. It says when players decide they don't want to play for someone anymore, they just don't play.
Yeah. I've heard that they deliberately play badly.
There is an element of that, apparently.
Yeah, apparently so. If they want to see the manager go, they will deliberately play shit and they'll,
If they've lost all motivation to play for Pellegrini, knowing that the league's probably gone, they're in serious danger of Arsenal getting second. I don't know.
Let's hope so.
If they're going to get rid of him in the summer anyway, then it's almost a case of why not give the new manager a head start? I don't know. It's such a mental club. I don't know. But Pellegrini's the most likely. And as you say, Allardyce's contract runs out and he may not renew. So he's the other one who might not be back.
I thought you meant, so he's going to get the Man City job.
No.
Yeah. Like, wow.
They've got a big number nine in Dzeko. So it's like it.
Exactly.
But that's the Gaffer Gambler. We'll let you know that any time patent comes in, obviously, you can we'll tweet it, you can get on board, or let us know what else you've bet. Also tonight we tweeted our coupon for tonight, so you can use that as a barometer, really. If that doesn't come in, just don't listen to anything we ever tweet for gambling tips. If it comes in, we're good as gold. But tweet us at the Gaffer Tapes, any questions, your teams, betting slips, and we'll get onto it on the next pod. Coming up in part three, we've got Tom versus Ash. It's 8-4 in the series as they battle for a photo shoot.
Oh, look at his face! His smug little face after he cheated his way through.
8-4.
And
we'll preview all the game week 32 fixtures, so you get a bit of last minute advice before you do your teams. But that's all for part two of the Gaffer Tapes. We'll be back in a second with part three. Hello and welcome back to part three of the Gaffer Tapes Fantasy Football Podcast with Tom, Ash and Craig. It's part three. It's actually happening this time after last week's
potentially.
It's the Gaffer Tapes part three.
Unless I lose again, and then I'm going to sabotage it and just break all the equipment that we're using.
Do you remember right at the end of the section three last time, Tom saying, oh, I didn't want to touch the recording thing, and he was on it and something was happening. And then he was like, oh, just in case it breaks. And then it was broken.
Just in case it breaks.
Yeah, just in case I had to delete it. I did.
It is lost in the annals of time.
Yeah. Mm.
It's in that warehouse at the end of Indiana Jones.
Just to clarify, if at the end of the season I've lost the quiz, I'm going to go back, stitch the recording together no matter how long it takes, and bring out a bonus episode to push me back into winning again.
So you could have done that anyway, you lazy bastard.
I would have had to have recorded every other word you said. Yeah. I think it would have been worth it.
I'd have been interested to see how that sounded.
That'd be good. Craig saying half a word and Ash just finishing the word. That'd be great. We could try and recreate it now.
Just badly dubbed Gaffer Tapes. It's all right.
Seamless.
It is seamless, as always. I mean, we haven't gone off topic. This podcast in general, it's been vintage.
Yeah.
But Game Week 32...
We've been waffling on, haven't we?
And anyone who just tuned into part three, because they go, oh, I only listen to part three. I don't really do part one and two.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on.
Even less sense. We have a quick run through of the fixtures for Game Week 32. Being that I'm, you know, taking one for the team, bit of a hero, I quite do my team quite early just to give advice, which is probably why Tom's caught me up. Although, as we speak, Benteke's got a couple of goals.
He has indeed, yeah. I feel like I spoke too soon, yeah. Benteke scored twice.
And it was a lengthy celebration of yours, it has to be said. So the fixtures for Game Week 32, the early kickoff on the Saturday is Swansea at home to Everton, which is where I should say I've already made my transfer. And I brought in Babafatik Gomis into the side. I'm toying with making him captain just because I think they're playing quite carefree at the moment.
Yeah.
They're at home. They're always very good at home. Southampton play Hull. Spurs play Villa, which if Villa do win tonight, then a win there. Sherwood surely wants to put one over on Spurs.
Oh, yeah. But he does.
After not getting the job there, would really see him say. Sunderland at home, Crystal Palace, a team you wouldn't want to play. Like we say, Palace, another game where we thought the City game would be the one where you'd think, wait till after that to put the Palace players in. But actually, they performed against them. There's no reason they shouldn't turn over Sunderland. West Brom at home to Leicester in probably the worst game of the day, and they haven't even played them yet. West Ham at home to Stoke. Burnley at home to Arsenal. See if Giroud can carry on his scoring form if Sanchez finds it again. QPR at home to Chelsea. Man United against Man City is a big Manchester derby there. And Liverpool versus Newcastle, which was big in the 90s. So it was a good game then. McManaman, Fowler, Collymore.
Do
you remember that? Terrible. But it was like a 5-4 or something?
It was 4-3.
4-3 about
4-3 games.
Yeah.
And they were phenomenal.
Yeah, they were great, weren't they?
But people forget the fact. Everyone always looks back and does the whole, oh, wasn't football better then? No, Darren Peacock was playing in defence. It was just two teams attacking without any care for defence. Which was
Christina Espria.
He's the same words. Tebow.
It took me that whole time thinking, what was his name? Fistino Espria.
He was living through that ninja kick he scored against Barcelona.
Ninja kick.
Can you remember?
Yeah, I remember. I just don't think it's called a ninja kick.
Probably not, it definitely is. Yeah, yeah.
Definite ninja kick.
Fistino Espria ninja kick.
But Manchester derby, again, it's always tempting to avoid the players in big games. You go, oh no. But we've just seen Arsenal-Liverpool. You should have flooded Arsenal players. Surely it's tempting. Rooney's going to be put into teams this week, isn't he?
I fancy United for that, yeah. I said that when we were off air. I said I fancy Rooney scoring against
it. If it was off air, it didn't happen, mate.
Oh, shit.
But you just said it now, so it's fine.
I just said it now, hey!
But I think a lot of people who have stuck by Aguero and he's just done nothing week after week, taking him out, putting Rooney in, he loves these games.
Yeah, it's a strange one. We talk about this a lot, though. Rooney's a weird pick. His percentage, I'm not sure what it is, but I'm sure it's not that high.
No, it's normally below 25.
It's not massive, no.
Considering they're like, he does score goals. Mm. I don't know what makes him so unpopular.
It's just that little bit more expensive. He's just sort of maybe, what, the fourth or fifth most expensive striker, probably.
Is he more expensive than Aguero? I don't know.
No, he's not. He's about 10.8, I think, Rooney at the moment, 10.9.
He's playing up front now, which helps.
Yeah.
He suffered a lot when he was playing, you know, really deep in midfield, and so people just didn't bother.
Yeah, that's true.
Terrible value, but it's almost as if they've forgotten he's there. But he's ticked along with goals and
yeah,
points.
He's been in and out of my team now and again all season, really.
Yeah, but there's not much choice else at Man United. That's what Van Gaal's had to play him up front because Falcao hasn't done anything in his minutes. Van Persie's been injured and out. He hasn't really had much choice. You know, Fellaini's proved quite a good attacking threat in recent weeks because of that.
Di Maria scored twice this week, didn't he?
Yeah, Demi, and tell you what, Herrera.
Oh, sorry, Herrera. Herrera was the one, wasn't he?
It's Herrera who got the goals. He is proving he's one for next season.
He was one of my tips previously when we did the Edinburgh special episode before the season started, and I said Herrera was one of my tips. Because I did hear it from someone else. But, yeah.
He's fought his way into the team. It hasn't come easy to him, but he started to put together. He scored some important goals, got some points. I think he looks a good player, you know.
Yeah. A lot of people did have him in their teams at the start of the year.
Yeah.
I think it's taken him a while to settle in, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. On the Rooney thing, I was just looking. He's the sixth highest scoring forward.
Not bad.
But the players above him, Kane, Austin, and Berahino, are all pretty much half his price.
Yeah. So if we take them out of the equation, among the high price strikers, he's got to be, he's second then, isn't he?
No, third, because there's Aguero and Costa are both ahead of him.
Okay. And then Acosta, I suppose, is out for the rest of the season.
And Aguero, if you switch that around to form, Aguero's points all came in the first 6 months.
Yeah. I wonder what it is by form. I bet Rooney's... By form, he's not anywhere near it. He's like about the 12th. Yeah, that's surprising. It only takes the last 3 weeks into account, I think.
Right. Yeah. But I think at home to City, I think United will be... They'll be well up.
Yeah, I fancy him for that.
It's, I mean, it's ridiculous, but there's every chance United could finish above City this year now.
Wow,
in third.
Imagine saying that at the start of the season or the last season.
Well, in January, I still thought Man United would fall to Liverpool or Southampton. I still didn't think they were playing well enough. And I was wrong. But yes, there's all the fixtures. I don't know, have you two had looked at changing your teams or anything that stands out you might do this week?
I'm going to get rid of Benteke because I don't think he's going to stay... scoring. No, he's the sort of player you'll only have in a double game week, and I'm going to stick Giroud in and probably captain him for the Burnley game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you had a look yet, Ash?
That's what I'm going to do.
I've not had too much of a look yet.
Look at his little tricky face. Yeah. Little tricker.
Just sneaky weasel.
I always have to leave it till like 5 minutes before the end.
Yeah.
You don't have to, you choose to.
Yeah, that's true.
It's something my mum would say. You don't have to, you chose to do that, Ash. We chose to host a podcast to give fantasy football advice. So, it's way up the options.
Although, I tell you one player I do have in my team who I might be looking to offload. I do have Jack Rodwell, who I thought was going to turn it around. And I actually think he's like Sunderland's only good player.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's going to pay off ever.
I had Jack Colback. I stuck by him for a few weeks thinking, because I like him as a player, but I thought he might develop a bit of a goal scoring knack there, but he hasn't.
Yeah.
Enough of this tomfoolery. That's the game week 32. We'll obviously tweet our teams when we get them, and you can do the same, tweeting us at the Gaffer Tapes with your picks or who you're bringing in or taking out. It's time. It's 8-4 in the series for Tom versus Ash.
Allegedly.
It's the artist formerly known as 9-4 in the series.
I like it.
And we're going to be playing a boring pundit, more like YouTube fun shit.
Yeah, it's still good. It's good every
time.
It's
great. You know, it's
great. Good every time.
It's all good stuff. But yeah, so I look for all YouTube clips of the weekend's footballing highlights and read from the comments section one of the comments, and Ash and Tom have to work out what the clip is of, what footballing incident over the week, over game week 31 was it. We did it last week in the missing scrolls episode. The result's unknown. It went missing. It's still 8-4 in the series to Ash. There's not long for Tom to claw it back. Obviously, if this was a TV show, it would end 8-8 with a huge tiebreaker, and that's kind of what I'm hoping. But
that might very well happen. Although I've watched zero football because I was in a static caravan in Claxton on the sea. That's where I was. Yeah.
I don't know what is worse, the comments that these lunatics make on YouTube, or our continued inability to work out what their footballing highlights are from them.
Yeah,
they're both pretty sure.
I'll have to check the records, but I'm pretty sure none of Tom's 4 points came from this game.
No, I don't think they did. They've all come from sort of pun-based games.
They've all come from, like, comedian-based knowledge games.
They've come from improv games.
Yeah.
Anything that's to do with this.
I think the last 4 weeks we should have, like, multiple computer programming rounds. I think it would make it fairer.
Yeah.
I mean, I won't be able to set the question.
That's even better.
Maybe Ash should set his own questions.
So there's a problem already.
Okay,
so the three comments are, and I haven't babied you this week because people complain that I make it too easy.
Yeah.
Who complains about that?
Everyone on Twitter. Wow. Everyone on Twitter says that it's a piece of piss and you two are useless.
Well, they're correct. Yeah. Continue.
So, game week 31, incident one. Are you ready?
Yes.
I was just building tension. Right, so here's the comment. They say the ball moves faster than the man. That's particularly true when it's that man. Now I'll say it without a stutter. They say the ball moves faster than the man. That's particularly true when it's that man. So that's the first one. So you need to talk about what incident that must be from game week 31.
Okay,
write that down. Second one. Instead of complaining he was offside, how about questioning how you get beaten to the ball by the slowest striker since Thomas Brolin? So instead of complaining he was offside, how about questioning how you get beaten to the ball by the slowest striker since Thomas Brolin? There's a clue in there at Thomas Brolin. That might give you an idea of the game it's from. If you go over, if you go over Thomas Brolin's past, it might give you an idea of what game
it is. I had a mate who used to call me Thomas Brolin. Or Thomas Brolin, he used to say.
I think it's Brolin. Was that just a really roundabout way of correcting my pronunciation?
No, but
it's a dick move, Tom.
Helped, didn't it?
And last one. He said, well done. What was he meant to do? Beat him up? We aren't in school. well, I don't know you. You might be in school. In which case, go to school, which I quite enjoyed. That's the middle of an argument. I've only plucked out the middle one. They're arguing about an incident, what someone was doing. So I want to know what that incident is. It's a bit of a tricky one. So it's, he said, well done. What was he meant to do? Beat him up. We aren't in school. Well, I don't know you. You might be in school. In which case, go to school. So I quite enjoyed that. So that's an incident number three. So a bit tricky, that one. But I get the feeling some of the listeners will have got it.
I've not got that one. I didn't watch any bloody football.
Yeah, I don't know. Tweet us if you got them
when you find out the answer.
It's really tricky.
Yeah.
I'm just going to have to write something down.
Okay.
In fact, if you're listening, pause it now. Tweet us your answers, and then afterwards, just lie and say you got. Well, do you know what? I don't trust any of you enough.
This is what everyone does. They listen with no pressure, and then immediately we reveal the answers, and they're like, "Oh yeah, I knew that."
Oh yeah, now I got that one. Yeah, I don't know what they're. That.
Oh yeah.
Right. So anyway, first one was they say the ball moves faster than the man. That's particularly true when it's that man. Tom, what did you write down?
Charlie Adam.
Yeah, Ash.
Charlie Adam.
It was Charlie Adam's goal, obviously, a particularly hefty midfielder with a hell of a strike.
Tick.
That's tick. That's 1 point each. There's going to be no blanks, no ducks around here. Second one was, instead of complaining he was offside, how about questioning how you get beaten to the ball by the slowest striker since Thomas Brolin? Ash, what did you write down?
I didn't get anyone for this.
You didn't get anything?
No, I didn't.
I put Bobby Zamora.
No, it's not that.
The clue in Thomas Brolin was he actually turned out for them. He turned out for Crystal Palace. It was Glenn Murray's goal against Man City.
I knew it was the Man City game.
I thought Zamora was quite slow. He scored.
He was questionably offside, but obviously Glenn Murray is famously slouchy.
Because there was like three offsides, wasn't there, in a row?
Yeah, and he was actually on for all of them.
Yeah, that's right.
But he's unbelievably slow. Five in five, though.
That's doubly annoying, because I knew that one, but I couldn't remember who scored.
So it's 1-1. Last one. He said, well done. What's he meant to do? Beat him up? We aren't in school. Well, I don't know. You might be in school, in which case, go to school. Tom, what instant have you written for this? It's a tricky one.
No, I mean, I don't know, so I just put the Liverpool sending off.
Right. It's a good guess, though.
Right. Oh, brilliant, because I think I've got it. Oh, we might be beating him again. Oh, unless I've now got it wrong.
Celebrated first.
But Tom could change, Craig could change the answer. I reckon it's the Newcastle game. Cruel. Defoe scored, didn't he? And then as they were going off the pitch, he sort of said, like, well done to Defoe or something, and then the crowd was spazzing about it.
I mean, spazzing isn't in the answer, but... It is Tim Krul.
Oh, dish!
Tom, that was
did
so
you actually write that down?
Why are you covering that? Because the bonus round. Oh, we're right. Still going to do it, aren't we?
Okay. That's close. Yeah, Jermaine Defoe scored a brilliant volley, and the cameras just caught Tim Krul waiting in the tunnel to congratulate Defoe. And then Carragher went mental about it, and all of a sudden Twitter kind of exploded.
Yeah, I tell you what, this not to get on my high horse again, but this is the same as earlier in the season, you know, where Balotelli swapped shirts with somebody in the tunnel. And the context was going, oh yeah, that's outrageous. And it's like, if someone comes up to Balotelli and is like, swap shirts with him, and Balotelli at halftime goes like, fuck off, pal, do one. He's going to get absolutely slaughtered. It's the same thing, isn't it?
I don't think there's a problem with it. Krul's just...
being a nice person. Yeah. What scumbag.
It's not as if to say you should be more focused. Focused on what? Walking into the changing room. It's ridiculous. He's not going to try less in the second half because he said well done to him.
It's just because of the rivalry and the hatred between the two.
I guess, but they're professionals. People forget they don't hate each other.
Yeah. No. Unless...
Tim Krul couldn't give a shit about Sunderland.
If we had... The only reason would be if we had had Defoe on our anytime score patent, and obviously Krul's a big follower of the show, then there could have been some intrigue. Yeah,
that's true. That is true. People might have been like, maybe it was a fantasy footballer. I'd love to get a footballer at some point in the future of the Gaffer Tapes. I want to ask a professional footballer about their fantasy football team because I want to know if they pick themselves, even though they know they're useless. Anyway, so that was it. Ash, 9-4, which kind of rectifies last week.
Better than 10-4, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah, it would have been done. Just out of interest, the tiebreaker was how many yards was Charlie Adam's goal measured at? So how many yards out was he? I don't know if you'd have got it. So did you write that down?
What are you going for, Tom?
What are we doing, double or quits?
No, fuck off, are we? Just for anybody who missed it, we tried this last week after I beat him again.
And we went for double quits, and I actually got the tiebreaker one right last time, but we didn't say double or quits.
It took us 2 minutes to work out what double or quits meant.
Huh? Don't start it again. Just we understand it.
I said 54.
What did you say, Ash?
68.
Whoa, it was 65. It would have been Ash.
Yeah,
it would have been Ash.
Didn't do double quiz.
I should have done because I knew the answer. Fuck.
But it's 9-4 to Ash. Not only that, being a couple of weeks, I think, you know, we're not always here. Tom, you're not going to be here in a couple of weeks, I don't think. So you need to start winning, mate.
I know.
Maybe I'll double the points.
No, don't, none of this shenanigans. He's not fucking Noel Fielding, none of this.
Let's do a podcast tomorrow. and we'll just talk about the game tonight, the last 10 minutes of it.
We'll do a podcast.
Yeah, then we'll do a game.
Yeah, that's it. But no, it's 9-4 to Ash. We'll maybe play a different game next week. I'll have to think of something new. If you've got any suggestions for games, tweet us.
Oh, tweet us some suggestions, yeah.
If you're a personal friend of Tom, and you can think of a game based around his daily life that he might be able to win at.
If someone wants to tweet us an idea for a game, we'll play it. As long as it doesn't involve actual general knowledge or trivia, well, then we're all right. We'll do it. But so if you do want to tweet us, and just tweet us in general, at the Gaffer Tapes, tweet us your teams, any bets you've got, any questions. There were some really good questions this week to tweet us, and we'll go through them next week. And let us know you've picked for game week 32. And hopefully by the end of this, we've made some astute predictions about the Villa QPR match. We said the QPR might win. It doesn't look likely now. But get in touch for game week 32. You can also follow us individually on Twitter. You can follow Tom.
@the_Tom_Holmes.
And you can follow Ash.
@Gremzilla.
And you can follow me @CraigHazel. But most importantly, follow @TheGafferTapes for all your fantasy football and football tweets. And we'll make fun of you as we always do and tweet us all your teams and all your info, all your betting tips. But for now, that's all we got time for game week 31. But we'll see you next time. So thank you and goodbye.